morning. Morning, everybody. Morning. And we are back. I've got to get some of the fancy music and things and the opens and all that kind of stuff. I've got to get that. Yeah, Michael, yes, thank you. But Jarrett's there and I'm here. And, it's been a bit. It's been a bit that we haven't been able to do this. But so what do you think, Jarrett? Do you think we can survive this?
Yeah, we can try.
But bottom line is that we're back, and I'm learning the technology. So for what it's worth, we'll see how this continues to rock and roll here. But now that we are up and running, oh, look at that. See, now Jason Nix was wondering that if there was no picture, did it in fact happen? So that's where we are. And so there is a picture of Jarrett. And of course, Jarrett, unmute yourself. Actually, tell you what.
We haven't done it in so long that I have to re-upload the picture. So
there you go. Yes. So, so he's there and I'm here. So the way that it'll work this morning is that we'll go for however long you want us to go. I know that Jarrett's good until about 9:55 or so, and then he turns into an actual working individual. And if there are any conversations that
I've been a working individual since 7, this is just my break.
Well, then this is your break. And then so then we'll cut a promo, and then we'll keep going if there's stuff that you guys want to talk about. But, Jarrett, I'm going to start with the opening kickoff once again, brought to us by our friends at Kickoff Coffee. KickoffCoffeeCOO.com, as the banner says, over the right shoulder. So, therefore, it must be true. Once again, you've got KickoffCoffeeCOO.com on the Twitters, on the Instagram, and on the Facebook. And reminder, once again, with the investment from our friends at Kickoff Coffee, that to use the code SOCCERDOWNHERE15. And you get 15% off your investment. And thanks to everyone who has been investing in Kickoff Coffee so far. And a reminder that they take 10% of their proceeds, roll them over into the youth game and youth initiative. So very, very cool stuff. And thanks to everyone who has been investing in our friends at Kickoff Coffee, kickoffcoffeeco.com. And what I wanted to do for the opening kickoff this morning, Jarrett, was discuss what happened yesterday. And I know that Nick will want to discuss this as well tonight. We're going to tape soccer over there and we'll post it to the network. That'll be the other programming for the day. But I wanted to get your opinions on what happened yesterday with Spurs and Chelsea.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. As Nkoko asked, Hank Shaker's fuffle is all Conte's fault, right? Tuchel just tried to get a good shake. I wish we had a microphone when that happened. That was hilarious. I was sitting on the couch watching that, like getting ready to go to the store. Just wanted to see the end of it before the camera went out. But I want more villains and more heroes. I want more faces and more heels in this game. And that gave me what I wanted. Because what you gave me ultimately was two managers who decided to just make it personal. And it was magical. Yeah. Conte running over there at the edge of the Chelsea area, screaming at them like a 5-year-old. I have seen that when I used to run rec adult soccer leagues. And if anyone ever asks you to run an adult soccer league, like a recreational one, don't do it. Do not. It's worse than anything you can do in terms of running a sports league. It's just a bunch of petulant little children who don't know how to act. The tragic part is most of them are north of 30. However, give me more of this heel mentality. I honestly expected Conte to trip Thomas Tuchel as he went sprinting down the sideline. It was magical. And then, yes, the handshake. And I wonder, is he going to pull Conte's shoulder out of his socket with that pullback? I was honestly expecting Conte got pulled back into it. I was honestly expecting him to slap him upside the face. That was the only way it could have been better.
Well, and then after the match, the signals from Tuchel basically was, if you're going to shake me in the, if you're going to shake my hand, look me in the eye. And that's, I guess, what Thomas Tuchel was getting at. when you had your post-match handshake. And now there is a petition. I don't know if you saw this morning.
Did not.
There is a petition at change.org which alleges Anthony Taylor has continued to make big decisions against Chelsea over the years in big matches. Taylor has an agenda against Chelsea and should not be allowed to referee a game involving the club again. The petition's creator then goes on to cite incidents that they believe prove, in quotation marks, he shouldn't be allowed to referee the club. 85,000 people have signed the change.org.
I just want to remind everybody that the Venn diagram between SEC fans and EPL fans, it's not exactly one circle, but it's not as separate as you think it is. It's somewhere between the Coco Chanel logo and one solid circle. Mm. There you go.
So we have a petition at change.org to make sure that folks are banned.
And to Niall's point, yeah, how there was no foul called on the hair pull on the penultimate corner is...
Pharrell, I know.
That's just... Well, that doesn't even get into the fact that you have, you know, the whole thing kicks off at the first goal because of just an egregious foul that goes uncalled where, you know, I think it's Kai Havertz gets ripped down with a bad tackle. I understand your frustration, Chelsea. I do. But yeah, the Venn diagram of SEC football fans and EPL fans, it's not quite a circle, but it's close.
Yeah. So that's where we are. We now have a change.org petition with 85,000 signatures where folks,
because that's a healthy decision.
Yes, of course it is. So
my favorite thing that people, sorry, and this will be my last point, and I'll get off of it. My favorite thing people do is the, we do this in all sports. It's always funny for a minute and then it gets annoying of the, they're celebrating a draw. We're mourning a loss. We're built different. Context of games, things are designed differently. Of course they're celebrating. They got away with a hair pull at the end. Uh-huh. And Harry Kane, you know, got a header at the death to take a point away from you. Of course they're going to celebrate it. Uh-oh, because it probably shouldn't have happened.
Yeah, and Coco is saying that the Venn diagram probably should include SEC, EPL, and Yankees fans.
Absolutely, it's because I'm literally holding my phone. I'm sitting on the back porch holding my phone while my child is inside listening to Magic Treehouse books and other wayward children adventure novels.
Yes.
So Boxcar Kids is next.
Yes. So that's the opening kickoff. And obviously we'll get Nick's perspective on it tonight. We're going to tape soccer over there and it'll be on the network later tonight. So once again, that's your opening kickoff. Brought to us by our friends at Kickoff Coffee, kickoffcoffeeco.com, Kickoff Coffee CO. On the Bird app, on the Face Space, and on the Gram, as the kids say. 15% off if you use the code SoccerDad. Yes.
I have a little phone stand. I just don't have it with me right now. I can go get it later. I'll set it up for next time. I'm not staying on camera the entire time anyway because I have stuff I have to get done. But I just did this because I was vaguely threatened to. And this is the first time we're back doing a show. So you get me for a few minutes.
Yeah, for a few minutes. So, once again, invest in Kickoff Coffee. Use the code soccer down here, 15% off of your purchase when it comes to Kickoff Coffee. And they roll over 10% into youth initiatives and youth programs. Very, very cool stuff from our friends at Kickoff Coffee. So I'm just going to go ahead and ask you from 30,000 feet about Atlanta and Cincinnati. We got some comments this morning. We'll get into those. And it's on the Twitters at Soccer Down Here. It's also here in the chat and the timeline. But now that you've had a little over a day to kind of digest Andrew Gutman and his wizardry once again, what are some of your thoughts?
It's a good draw. This is a Cincinnati team that went and beat the dog out of Philadelphia last week, and you win in Cincinnati, and look, you should have been 3-0 up. If the post is a little friendlier, you're 3-0 up in the first half and that game's probably dusted. Mm-hmm. You came out and you played like house on fire and you did exactly what you had to do. The only thing was the post was unkind because Amada should have had two. Marcelino should have had one where he hits it off the post as well. You lit them up. You had, once again, a Cincinnati keeper stand on his head and make a couple saves he had zero business making.
Yep.
You did everything right in that game on the offensive side of things. Defensively, you give up the gold to Vasquez, which get in line. Everyone's doing that this year, man. Winning the golden boot, probably. And the second goal is just weird little scramble ball in the box. It screams Philadelphia, and then Cincinnati is basically Philadelphia Junior. It's that same kind of just put it in the mixer and let's see what the hell happens kind of ball. But you don't want to give those up. You got to be better and not give those up. Getting a goal on that buildup with Brandon Vasquez on the end of it, that happens. And then you had Rocco Rios Nova make saves that he had to make and make a couple that were really insane. That if you want to get out of a road game with anything, you have to have a keeper who makes those saves, and he did. You did enough to win offensively. Still got some stuff to clean up on the defensive side. I know people were not thrilled with the Juancho Peralta after the game, but he has been great since he got here. He has been – I don't entertain the idea that, you know, now you have to be mad at him and now you can't like him or anything like that. I mean, it's he didn't have the perfect game that you're looking for from him, but that's going to happen at times. But ultimately, I mean, God knows you did enough on offense. You got to carry through, and I just God, who was it? Somebody asked about it. I think it was Niall asked about it on Twitter of, you know where you sit in the playoff picture. I mean, you're technically second to last in the East, but you're tied with like four other teams, on points. If you beat Red Bulls Wednesday night, you are 1 point out of a playoff spot, and you will be giving up that game in hand in the process. This very much probably is the fulcrum to your season Wednesday night.
No doubt.
Because if you lose it, I think you're done. If you draw it, you're mostly done. And if you win it, I think you're in a good position because you have a lot of weird games coming up. Remember, you have to go to Portland to play a game. You have Philadelphia twice. You have DC coming here, which that has to be 3 points. Again, all your home games, you've got to win all your home games at this point. Yeah. And that includes New York City coming here to end the season. That includes Philadelphia coming here. It's going to be very weird. You still have to go to New England, and New England's can be weird. I'm very much thinking that if you beat Red Bulls, you're in solid shape. Not great shape. You're going to need help, but you're giving yourself a puncher's chance.
Yeah, so here's the rundown, just so folks have the idea as to where things stand. And we're going to be focusing pretty much on 5 through 13 because there seem to be 9 teams in each conference that are chasing after playoff spots. So Columbus right now is in 5th at 34. Orlando is 6th at 33. And reminder, Orlando and Miami have identical records, 9-10-6, 25 matches played. Orlando is minus 8 in goal difference. Inter Miami's minus 9. That's above the playoff bar right now. New England's also at 33 points. They have 8 wins. Cincinnati is at 33 points. They have 8 wins, but they've played one more match than New England. That gets you to 10. Chicago's at 10 with 30. Charlotte's at 29 in 11th. Toronto, one less win. They're in 12th at 29 than Atlanta with 2 less wins at 7 with the match in hand. Puts them right now at 13th. That's 5 through 13 separated by 5 points. And this is the point that I will continue to make, is that you have, and Jared has to reload his avatar. It's been a while, so the avatar has to be reloaded for Jared. That's why you see what you see currently. But 5 through 13, you have 9 teams chasing after 3 spots in the East. You have 9 teams chasing after 3 spots in all the spots in the West. And so the fulcrum and the machinations are different. So yeah, you look at Red Bulls, that one to me has got to be a must win. And so I am right there with you in that regard. You got to take care of business at home. And the other element in this is on decision day, like I said, this is just a big if there is nothing to be decided among 2, 3, and 4, Montreal, NYC, and Red Bulls, then you wonder what the lineup's going to look like and folks resting for the first round of the playoffs. Philadelphia is 5 points clear right now, but you wonder what it's going to look like on decision day if 2, 3, and 4 are decided. Philadelphia is probably going to rotate some folks because if they're number one, they're not going to do much of anything. So keep an eye on the standings and the impact on decision day. And if folks might be playing 45, might be playing 30, might be sitting, might not be traveling. Keep an eye on that too, when it comes to NYC, possibly on decision day. So that's where we are with right now, how things stand with Niall and his question about where things are with Atlanta United. And you mentioned the numbers. Rocco Rios Novo on the day had 6 saves. And going through the rest of his numbers, 4 saves inside the box. He was 19 of 23 on his passing, 6 of 9 on long balls. He had 2 clearances that were a part of his day as well. So, you know, Jarrett, you mentioned what's going on with Rocco. Rocco is had another big day when he had to have one on the road on 39 touches with 6 saves. Let me run through what you folks are already putting up on the conversation here on the Twitch side. Once again, thanks for coming back. And I know it's been a while, and I know that Michael has asked, and thank you for all the kind words, everybody. Jason's still fighting long COVID, and right now his priority is his health and being there for the Atlanta United broadcasts as best he can. So, you know, hopefully there might be some stuff on tape further down the road, but right now Jason's priority needs to be his health and his welfare. And so we will continue to do this, and hopefully I will continue to learn to add things when it comes to how it looks here on the morning show. So, you know, times might be a little different. Times might vary a little bit because of other commitments for me, specifically with high school football and things like that. But I will try to keep it as constant as possible and let you know what's going on. But yeah, thanks to everybody for the kind words this morning. It's really is great to be back. Yeah, I know, Michael, a live show. Looking through all of the comments. Yeah, I know. Abby, Jarrett on the air. He actually can exist. Coco. Yeah, it's all Conti's fault. Right. Okay. And yeah, Abby, you're getting gifts because you don't drink coffee. I don't drink coffee either. So that's the way that it'll work with Elle. And first time doing the show on your new phone. Well done. Percy has a thought this morning, Jarrett, and it has to do with Nashville. What in the wide world of sports is going on with Nashville after, once again, I don't know, should they just not play at Geodis anymore? I mean, should they just go back to Nissan?
Schadenfreude is one of my favorite things to imbibe on a daily basis. Let's do it here, because remember when I always love this, when you open a new stadium, you want it to become a fortress. You want that mentality. You want that mentality from day one to be, oh, this place is a fortress. We don't lose here. Mercedes-Benz had that aura for the longest time, going back 17, 18. And man, Geodis doesn't have it, because they are, I think, 3-4-5 there, 3-4-4, something like that. It's not nearly as impenetrable as you. They're trying to make it Helms Deep, and it's more of the Westfold, if we want to take this literally. It's the same thing though. Like, we've been over this with Nashville before. We talked about it, and like, we can rehash it real quick. The 30,000 foot quick version is Nashville's the similar team that they were in 2020 and 2021. They haven't really taken that next step, and that team can get into the playoffs, and when they get really good defensively, they can make a little bit of a run. But if Hani Mukhtar ain't doing Hani Mukhtar things, then they aren't really doing anything. For all the talk of, hey, man, it'd be great if Atlanta had Brandon Vasquez still, Nashville's probably thinking the exact damn same thing, because Nashville's the one that drafted him in the expansion draft and then turned around and flipped him to Cincinnati. I wonder if Nashville regrets that sometimes, because they cannot get a consistent number 9 who can finish inside the box.
And right now, you know, we mentioned how things are in the conference standings. And Nashville, when you thought that Nashville was part and parcel to the discussion in the West, right now, Nashville's on life support when it comes to being north of the playoff bar. And, you know, we talk about all these.
And Niall, Seattle should be absolutely worried too. Everyone always, you keep waiting for Seattle to flip that switch. Sorry, I'm just jumped our tracks. But Niall brought it up, and it reminded me because watching the game last night. Everyone waits for Seattle to, you're waiting for Zombie Sanders to come up and do their thing. But at what point do you go, yeah, this ain't going to happen? That's okay. They won CONCACAF Champions League. They don't have to prove anything to anybody this year. But we always just kind of wait and expect Seattle to come to life. It's one time they're not going to. That might be this year, because they had a goal pulled back. They give up a goal. They get their goal back. And then they give up another one moments later and lose 2-1 to RSL, who's still trying to figure out what they're going to be. But yeah, Seattle's in that same boat of like, it might not happen, y'all.
Yeah. And so right now, just to let everybody know what's going on in the West, with some separation with the win by RSL, RSL, you know, gains 3 points to get to 37. So that kind of puts some distance between them and six. So right now you've got six teams chasing after, let's say, two spots. RSL's at 37 with the win. They're in fifth. They're a point behind Minnesota, and they're 2 points behind Dallas. There is some separation in the West. LAFC's at 54. And since we mentioned LAFC, I'll get to them in a second. Austin right now is second at 48. I still think, and I'll get to them in a second too, because I've got two topics there. Dallas at 39, Minnesota 38, RSL 37. Then you get to the gaggle. LAG right now, 33 points with 10 wins. They have match or matches in hand, depending on who we're talking about around them. Nashville with 8 wins, 26 matches played. They're at 7 right now. That's the playoff bar, 33 points, 8 wins. Portland, 33 points and 7 wins. Seattle, 10-13-2. So it's either one or the other right now. It's Seattle this year. They're at 32 points. Colorado, 31. Vancouver, 30. So you have six teams separated by 3 points chasing after playoff spots in the West. Nashville and Portland right now are the meat in that sandwich, with LAG in six. And Chicharito wanted a draw with Minnesota and Nashville, and he ended up getting a win, because I think he asked Adrian Heath at All-Star Week if he could get a draw in that match. But you got to win. Minnesota gives you a little separation. Nashville with the loss keeps you right there. So six teams, 3 points in the West, and you have the gaggle that we've been talking about in the East. And so let me ask you this. LAFC mentioned this weekend that they were not playing Gareth Bale and Chiellini because of load management. They were upfront about it in a very San Antonio Spurs-like way.
That's exactly where I was going to go. Thank you for beating me to it.
They admitted load management. We're keeping the old guys out because of load management. What did you think about that?
With Chiellini, it makes sense because he's old.
yes.
I mean, he's just old. Like, you got to manage his minutes, especially in MLS, a league like this that is going to be as fast as it is. And especially with LAFC, they're going to play a higher line. It's going to be more running for him. Then he's going to volleyball some passes down like he did last time out, which was genuinely the dumbest, silliest thing I've ever seen. Don't blame him for it, because it's not a red card in that situation, but it's, I'm not going to run. I don't want to give up a one-on-one with our last defender back, so I'm just going to spike this at the net like Phil Dolhauser in the 2012 Olympics.
There you go. Little Steve Timmons, Karch Karai action. Well done.
My question is, like, with Bale, while I don't know if load management is necessary with Bale, because he is north of 30, don't get me wrong, but he doesn't have as much mileage on his legs. Maybe it's just you want to be careful with him and save him for the playoffs. Didn't matter. They had a Charlotte team that's been struggling coming to town. Charlotte held on for the first half, and then the second half is basically the Danny DeVito meme of, well, and anyway, I came out blasting, because they came out blasting, and it just, it's LAFC scores a lot of set piece goals. And that one, the second one's weird, where it's like there's a lot of bodies. Kalina's trying to come out, he gets a touch to it, but not enough. And I think it's Tsifu gets just basically like sideball is easy. Oh, I say easy. It's a side volley in the net. Nothing's easy when the ball's at your feet, but for him, it probably was pretty easy just to side volley that ball in the net and just still were able to run roughshod. And yeah, there is also the fact, as the Cicadas are clearly LAFC fans, sure as hell ain't Atlanta fans, but yeah, you got just as many questions for Charlotte. Like, Charlotte's going the wrong way. Charlotte's in a meat of their schedule now where they're going to be spending a lot of time back and forth traveling, and you don't have that depth, which is understandable. You're an expansion team. You're not going to have a lot of depth. So if you have any injuries at all and you get into the dead dog days of summer, it's going to be tough. Yeah. And you went to the team that is going to win the Supporters Shield and might damn take away the points record again from New England, who took it from them last year.
But if you don't get out of the playoffs and you don't end up with a title, what does that really mean?
Oh, if they don't win, if they do not win MLS Cup, the entire thing's a failure. And I think they know that. I don't think they look at it as a like, oh, we want to get into the playoffs and make a run. No, you got to win a title this year if you're LAFC. You have to, because your team is good enough to absolutely take that title, host it at the bank, and win a title. That should be their goal, and it should be anyone's goal, but especially when you are possibly going to reset a points record and you are, you know, basically a modern-day all-star team, hell yeah, you should be winning a title. They should be your favorites.
Yep. Bam has joined us this morning only three times this year as an LAFC fan. Bam says only three times this year. They haven't scored in the second half. Two of those times, they lost 1-0 and 2-0, so...
They just lean on you. They can just body blow you to death. My God, watching them play. And I don't mean in a bad way. I'm not in a disgusting way, but just like, it's like watching someone just deliver shots to your ribs over and over and over. And eventually your hands are going to drop because you've got two cracked ribs and you can't breathe anymore. And then it's Carlos Vela or it's Arango who just delivers the haymaker. And then they're so good at just breaking you on the wheel.
Yep. Bam also says, as an LAFC fan, he can't see Bale starting anytime soon. Starting Opoku, Chicho, and Vela, then bringing Bale is perfect. Bam's mind.
Yeah, agreed. And yes, so, cover bust. Bam, it's cover bust, for sure.
No doubt about it. Like I said, we're going to be drifting back and forth from the timeline to what you guys are thinking on Twitter and all this kind of stuff this morning, since it's the first day back. And on the Twitter, getting back to the Atlanta United discussion, and a couple of folks chimed in this morning as I sit here and flip back and forth between stuff. Shiva wants to know, why can't we put a good, solid performance together? It looks to me like when offense gets rolling, then we give up a couple silly goals. Then we can't replicate what we did in the first 20 minutes. Is it playing style? I don't think it's playing style, Shiva. I think that, and what I'd like is a definition, because I admit, being the son of an English major, I'm looking for, when you say a good solid performance, what specifically are you referring to? Is it just everything being consistent offensively, defensively? That's what I'm looking for here. I want to know what your definition of a good solid performance together, if it's both sides acting in harmony, if that's what you're hunting for. I don't think it's playing style that contributes to it, but you know, I know that that's what, as Atlanta United fans, are always looking for, is that unison of offense and defense. And it comes down to, and this is something that I've maintained, is that it comes down to moments, especially when you're talking about things defensively. And also, you know, we've talked about set pieces for years because of how a team is constructed and things like that. So I don't think it's necessarily playing style. It just comes down to moments where you have younger players who are learning how to perform in this system, and it's on the job training. It is OJT, and you have young players making mistakes, but the fact that they're making these mistakes now, as they continue to get older and get more experience, you trust that they will learn from these experiences. Unfortunately, like I said, they're learning on the job, and so you have moments like this. So I don't think it's playing style. I think it just comes down to those moments where you have players who are still, you know, learning how to play in unison with each other in a system and all these kinds of things. I don't think it's necessarily playing style. It comes down to moments. And I know that moments always drive us all crazy. So that's the way it is for me, at least from my perspective. But you had, you know, in that first little bit against, you know, Cincinnati, Jarrett, you know, you mentioned it earlier, the post was not your friend. Sometimes the post is your friend if you spin things a certain way with contact, but the post was not your friend, and it could have been blowout city.
Yeah, it was one of those weird, it was one of those frustrating games, because you did everything right, I think, to win it, and you just weren't able to get it done.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to continue to play in a way that they tax their back line. They're going to get forward. They're going to try and create opportunities. I believe Doug had the stat that Atlanta like leads the league in shots and is near the top in shots on goal. Like they're gonna get forward and get shots off. But they're gonna put their back line under pressure. The first one, like both goals you don't want to give up. Some of it, the first one, some of it I give up to like just being out of sync. And also Cincinnati has a Lucho Acosta who is really good at what he does. He's been punishing you since 2017. And, you know, again, you get Brandon Vasquez an open shot and he took it. The second one, you can't have that. You absolutely can't have that. The ball like bouncing and getting stupid. That bounces off of your own player's chest into the goal. Like, you can't have that one. It was frustrating because it felt like, okay, you went on the road. You did everything you needed to do on the road to come out with 3 points. And in any other context, you'd be thrilled with 1 point in Cincinnati because Cincinnati's been a different animal this year than in years past. And you really played them well. You just weren't able to get it across the line.
Amelia is in this morning on the Twitters, and he says, the positive is that I was reminded and encouraged by Sosa's abilities and significance after missing really a year. Regarding the offense with the issue of spacing, can Araujo be the question and not Moreno? What do you think, Jared?
I still think Luis has a skill set that can just break things open. I still think he's trying too hard. He's trying to be spectacular when I just need very good. You know what I mean?
Well, but at the same time, I think that there are those individuals on any roster in any given team that if they sense that they need to be the individual that puts the game on their back and you want to bring everybody with you, that Luis is going to be that guy. He'll be the one to try to encourage a shot because, you know, if a team is packed.
Oh, he'll shoot from anywhere.
Right. And shoot, I think
he is J.R. Smith.
Right. And so I think that there are times when you have that guy who's like, all right, come on, guys, follow me. You know, it's the Blutarsky speech at the end of Animal House. Come on, let's go. Ah! And then he goes running out of the den and you want everybody to go with you. And so I think that that's what I'm seeing from Luis is that Luis is more than happy to sit there and put the team on his back if he senses that they need that jolt, they need that momentum change, they need that kind of that motion going forward, that Luis will be the guy to do it.
Yeah, I think you need him to rein it in sometimes. Like, have those moments where you go wild like that and make those plays because he's totally capable of making them and turning the game on its ear. But also sometimes you need him to be very good. When he does, you don't have to be spectacular. He doesn't have to be a world beater in every single moment. It feels like he has those moments where he is, and then he strings together a combination. And you're like, okay, cool. Now do something with it. And he wants to string two more things together, and it just won't come off. And it's disappointing and it's frustrating. I get the sense that it's really frustrating for him too because he knows he came in with expectations and a price tag. He hit the ground running last year. He scores your first goal this year. He has the hamstring injury. I think he's just trying to get back to that and trying to create as much as humanly possible, and it's tough to do.
Niall brings in a notion of a player that we haven't really talked about this morning, and we probably should bring him into the discussion. Thiago Almada. What do you...
You mean the dude who is going to make a run for the best number 10 in the league? I mean, he's got competition, don't get me wrong. Like, we saw two of them last night in the same game with Reynoso and Hadi Mukhtar, but you know, it's also Lucas Ellerón, still very good at what he does. Thiago Almada can absolutely be in that conversation. Dude is absolutely filthy.
Yep. And it's fun to see him. It's fun to see that imagination that we get from Thiago Almada. It's great to see him able to create and do what he was able to do. And the personification of that with the first goal. Emilio on the Twitch pitch says, we get screwed a lot by the ref. I don't feel bad about whether Gutman was or wasn't offside. I didn't think he was off if just looking at his feet. What'd you think about the Gutman play?
So we had this conversation about it of how do y'all feel about Eagle Eye in MLS? Like you have in England because Eagle Eye might have it different. How do you feel like you want offside to be judged? Do you want it to be by the human eye and, hey, we want to go take a look and see if there's something that's clear and obvious? Or do you want it to be done with the Eagle Eye system? And the caveat to that question is this, that offside is not a, it's not a judgment thing. It is black and white. You are right. On or you are off. There is not a, he might have been on, so let's give it to him. That
yeah.
It should be one or the other. And if Andrew was off, then he should have not have counted. It was insanely close. And I, when they went to VAR, I looked over at our shoulder when we had a stoppage and play with the twos game. It's like, I kind of expected them to pull it back. And I was kind of surprised when they didn't, because I thought it was really close to being close enough to pull it back. It's great. It's a great layoff from Joseph. That little one touch in the box. Like, first of all, you can't let Joseph post up on you at the six. No. You can't, not from the, from the spot. Excuse me. You cannot let him post up on you from the spot like that and let him pick that ball. It's a good run. Like, Gutman plays that ball in, continues his run. It finds its way to Joseph, and Joseph is still very good at that one touch passing when he has to have it. You cannot let him post up on you on the six like that. Let's go. I mean, it's the same kind of thing of, like, go back to the Tito goal against Orlando, the last game at Bobby Dodd Stadium in 2017, where he scores in like the 92nd minute.
Right.
Go back and look at that, because you cannot let a team that's chasing an equalizer post up on you that easily deep in the post.
No, no, you cannot. You cannot do that. No. So that's hey, lesson learned, and Philadelphia Junior learned that lesson the hard way. So it ends up being a goal for Andrew Gutman. Knicks doesn't quite share optimism of others. He says,
Sam, I don't. Sam asked about it. I hadn't seen anything about the Moreno rumor other than just somebody on Twitter said it, and there was nothing official to it. So, unless you see something from one of the S tier sources, I would just laugh at it, honestly.
Yes.
And you can wonder if they're going to do something in the offseason, but that particular one, don't worry about it. I wouldn't worry about it unless we see something from a legitimate source.
Right. That's, and remember Jarrett's avatar. Remember his avatar.
Always check your sources. And mostly that's because the baseball world is so full of people imitating Jeff Passan.
Yes. So always check your sources. If you see something like that, go to that particular Twitter account. See what.
Make sure it's a check mark. Check how many followers they have. Check their history. Right. Make sure that it's the right one.
Yes.
Yes. People have fun with these things.
Yes, that's the biggest thing. Go back, check and see if there's a blue check mark. Check the number of dudes that follow the guy and if there is an actual employer attached to it. So, yeah, we saw the same thing with Almada. Almada rumor, Moreno rumor, check your sources. That's one of the first bylaws that we have here at SDH. Check your sources. Check your sources and check the number of followers and things like that when it is going forward. Knicks doesn't quite share the optimism of others when it comes to chasing the playoffs. And I admit I'm going back in the timeline a little while here. Knicks says too many teams in front of Atlanta United, they're not making the playoffs. But right now, you've seen what a weekend can do. And right now, Knicks, Atlanta United is one of these 12 teams that it's going to be playing in the midweek to make up games. So it's, and to the point that Jarrett made earlier, this is must win. You have to win your games at home. Otherwise, you're going to have to end up stealing more stuff on the road. Red Bulls are kind of reeling right now. They can be had. They're not the same team defensively recently that they have been early in the year. They can be had. You get this win, you're at 32. You're right there in the mix. You're hopscotching some folks, and you're back on par with matches played and things like that. So this is must win. Then, you've got to take care of business and then keep an eye on everybody else. And obviously we'll get you ready for that because, we will actually on Wednesday, we will actually have the midweek whip around. And actually there's a game tomorrow. So one on Tuesday.
Wait, what's tomorrow?
Tuesday. There's a match on Tuesday. Yeah. There's an absolute match on Tuesday. I think isn't it LAFC and DC United? I think
they are. You could not pay me to watch that game.
Okay, well,
Bam will watch it just because he wants to see a dead body. That's it.
True. Yeah. So, 10:30 MLS After Dark tomorrow night, LAFC and DC United. Juice boxes right now. have LAFC at a minus 357, and this is courtesy of our friends in the Composite Odds Portal. Your draw at plus 494, DC United north of plus 800 right now, understandably so. But yeah, we have Tuesday night MLS After Dark. Remember load management? Bet you that Chiellini starts in this one. And then on Wednesday, you've got five games. Atlanta United hosting Red Bulls. Atlanta's currently favored. Toronto hosting the Revs. NYC hosting Charlotte. FC Dallas hosting Philly, which will be interesting for multiple reasons. And then Vancouver at MLS After Dark. Vancouver hosting Colorado. So one match tomorrow night, MLS After Dark. And then you've got five in the midweek. So the 12 teams that are playing here in the midweek can make some noise and make things even more crowded or contribute to more spacing. But yeah, we'll have a midweek. We will have a midweek whip around on Wednesday. Patent pending trademark coming, hopefully. But yeah. And then you've got Friday night football with the Galaxy and the Sounders. And you've got eight matches on Saturday. And then early numbers are being posted on those and what's going on Sunday, where Atlanta visits Crew. Crew are currently favored in that one. But once again, you got to take care of business on Wednesday before you can even think about Columbus. So that's where things currently stand involving the schedule as things are going forward. So a lot of folks talking with each other this morning. And Niall, I agree with you. Red Bulls is a team that's struggling. Still will be a tough match, no doubt about it, because of how they play. And let me ask you this. And Niall is saying, he says Orlando, he can see potentially slipping out of the playoffs, even though they won recently. If you are looking at ins and outs right now in the East, with the standings, looking at 5, 6, and 7, possibly who could be in and around it, we'll go ahead and include them all because of the 5-point gap. Who at 5, 6, and 7 could you see drifting out in the East between among Columbus, Orlando City, and Inter Miami? I could give you a reason for two of the three, the two Florida teams, if not all three. What do you think?
Orlando slipping out, I could absolutely see, because Orlando is so inconsistent. They'll throw all their chips into U.S. Open Cup play, and as they should, they're in the final. Miami, I don't really. How much can you keep getting out of Gonzalo Higuain?
Yeah.
How much can you keep getting out of him? That is my question for you there. You beat New York City, which that's good. New York City, a shell of what they were. Jesus.
Yeah.
They are. Hopefully they don't figure it out by the end of the season, because that's who you have decision day, and that could be a very big game for everybody involved. I'm a little more bullish on Columbus just because they have a striker 10 combination that's working for them right now.
True.
But Orlando, I'm not as high on. Yeah, Orlando's just.
Orlando's
so inconsistent.
They're in their late season regression. This is something that we see consistently with Orlando City, or Orlando, if you listen to Greg Garza when he comes on and discusses things with Beyond Goals on Friday. And Orlando, they start out well, and then there's that slow fade, and then there's always that risk of missing the playoffs. And we're seeing it once again with Oscar Pareja as the season goes. Orlando City is on that slow fade again that we're looking at. So I could see the two Florida teams being bumped out. But once again, you know, we're talking 5 through 13 separated by 5 points right now.
Yeah, it's going to be weird, man. It's because, yeah, Orlando, they'll get so like risk averse and regressive. They beat Red Bulls. This is that time of year where you can beat Red Bulls, like in the dead of sun, the dog days of summer, where Red Bulls has decided to just, hey, we're going to keep playing our style. We'll probably die. Well, then we die heroes.
Yes.
Which they'll come to Atlanta on short rest. They'll play with, I would assume the roof might be open Wednesday night if the rain holds off, because it's supposed to be pretty nice. But it's going to be a tough task for Red Bulls to come here. I know we always like Atlanta and Red Bull. Red Bulls is your boogeyman.
Yeah.
I get that. But it's a game you have to win. And based on what Red Bulls have done recently and based on what Atlanta's been able to do, like gutting stuff out, you should win that game. And yes, Sam, Pato is going to be out for a while. Yeah, they had to stretcher him off.
It did not look good, but we don't have any kind of an update on Pato out of Central Florida this morning. And that's the response of all the fans dressed in purple after Pato went down, actually. Tom Russo's in this morning, the Airborne DJ, says, it's embarrassing that we're in this position, and I refuse to absolve Pineda from any culpability. That's harsh. Frankly, Tom, that's harsh. And the way that I'm going to look at this is how we've looked at it all season long, is when you have 20 injuries involving 37 players, some of them being injured more than once, and you have a staff and a front office that continue to grind and find solutions, as they did with Ronaldo Cisneros, as they have with Juanjo Porata, and continuing to chase and chase and chase, I can't do that. I legitimately am looking at a staff that is sitting there on a weekly basis with an injury to Andrew Gutman, and you bring in Caleb Wiley, who has done well and has continued to learn and has stood up against some of the best in Major League Soccer on the left-hand side. He's getting picked on, and he's standing his ground. Jordan Morris, as an example, when Seattle came to town. You lose Brooks Lennon on the right-hand side. You lose Ronald Hernandez on the right-hand side. You bring in Aiden McFadden, who was putting in time with the twos and has stepped in and can hop out of the building when you need him to. And he has not backed down from competition that's there. You have a staff that is tap dancing as best as it can with all of the individuals that are there. And I can't do what you have in not absolving Pineda from any culpability. Literally, they're tap dancing as best as they can and as fast as they can on a game-by-game basis with the individuals they have on hand. And I know that everyone's frustrated when it comes to all of the offense up top, when you're looking at Joseph Araujo, Moreno, Cisneros, and Thiago Almada. But you didn't have the three DPs on the field for the first time together until last month, until basically 6 weeks ago, because of various reasons. I can't, and I will go 180 degrees from you. I can't give the staff enough credit. I can't give the front office enough credit for continuing to chase after something, because I'm sure, and we see it in other sports where you have front offices and owners who don't want anything to do with the rest of a season. If something's happening then you got owners and folks that want to sit there in the front office and go, yeah, let's tank. No, you can't quite do that in Major League Soccer, because the draft doesn't impact you the same way it does in other sports here in North America. And there isn't that sure thing. Let's just say, you're the top pick you're chasing after the top pick in the draft. Yes, someone like a Ben Bender or a Jeremy Obobese has done well, but they're not the world beater, star MVP, guy on the top of the mountain kind of thing that you can get. So things work differently in Major League Soccer. And when you have a coach who is having to deal with what he's dealing with and a staff doing the same thing, trying to figure out, okay, who can I bring in? What does my 18 look like? Who am I bringing in from the twos? The team barely wins. Everyone has to get some blame. And Gonzalo Pineda has talked about it in post matches, that there are times when he'll sit there and he admits he doesn't get the tactics right. So I get where you're coming from. I know that, and that's the beauty of where we are here, that we will continue to have these discussions, I'm sure. But when it comes to specifically sitting there and going, absolving Pineda, refusing to absolve Pineda from any culpability, then I can't go there because of what he's been having to, what he and the staff have been having to chase, and the front office still trying to chase after things. So, like I said, Tom, you and I've been having these discussions for years, and that's the beauty of where we are. That's just where we are. Jarrett, you got one more thing to do before you go. What do you want to talk about?
Oh yeah, I'm just going to quick hit it. Yeah, and to Tom's point, I mean, if you have beef with, you know, like some of the lineup, the 11 decisions we've seen this year, I know there were, you had the questions where you didn't start Amada for a couple games. I understand questions like that, as long as you're cool with the fact that that you're not changing anything, because yeah, you can't fire a manager after a year with this many injuries. You can't. He came in at the end of last season. They were pretty solid at the end of last season. They lost in the playoffs on a U9 pitch to the team that won MLS Cup. That kind of was what it was. And then you just kind of strung it together at times. Now, as you're getting guys healthy, you're going to need to find – we talked about it already. Red Bulls is a must-win game to keep your season alive. You got to go find points one way or another. You're not going to make changes this offseason with management. But, yeah, if you had beef with the lineup choices, I can understand that. Like Moreno over Thiago Amada, that sort of thing. Yeah, I can understand that. The strategy for bringing in Godinho, if Brad is expected to be back next year, man, I don't know what the situation is for backup goalkeeper. I don't know if you go get like somebody from the league to deal with things. I don't know if Justin Garces is ready for that role. I don't really want Justin Garces to be my backup. But the first team, I'd rather him be with MLS Next Pro next year, getting those minutes and consistently playing, because I think he has shown you in USL that he has the raw tools to be that guy. Don't know what the situation is with Rocco either. So that's good. Yeah, backup keeper is going to be something you're looking for, especially with the concept of, and you do bring it up, a good point. Brad's coming off an Achilles tear, and Brad's north of 35. Those are tough to come back from. So you do need to have a plan in place. With that, I surrender the floor.
Yes, I'll see you tomorrow. So that's Jarrett. All right, so it's you and me for the remainder here. And since we're at that particular point, time to read a promo. So we get to do that. And I know that some of you have been going back and forth in the timeline when it comes to the discussion that we're having on this particular topic. We'll get back to it. Everything brought to us by our friends at Alumni Service. I guess that means I have to bring back the Alumni sign here. Here in the studio for odor-free, clean, fresh air. Imagine there's an Alumni Service sign right here that's always been here. For odor-free, clean, fresh air, one place you need to go, it's Alumni Service. Alumni Service, deodorizing in closed spaces like houses, apartments, and condos, created a customized solution that eliminizes organic odors, including those like pet cigarettes and food. Realtors and property managers use Alumni Service to eliminate bad odors to help them sell or rent their homes that much faster. And it's a turnkey process, once again, to make it easy to work with said realtors and property managers. Kind of the environment, offering a green way to get rid of odors without any kind of toxic residue whatsoever. And I know, Bart, you and Tom are having conversations back and forth. We'll get to it in a second. Different than Febreze or our other favorite masking agents, because when you go into the cabinet to grab your masking agent, or you reach under the sink, whatever drawer you're in, you spray it in the air, it's a masking agent, just masking the odor, not attacking the problem, much like Aluminize does, as they go all the way down to the molecule to attack the problem with their proven scientific formula. Pricing easy, one of two ways, cubic feet or parts per million, to come up with a price that's affordable for you, offering results in 24 hours or less. Frequently asked questions, you can go one place, go to the website, aluminize.com, but do us a favor, go /Atlanta so they know what part of the world you are attacking them from. So it's ELIMINIZE.com/Atlanta, aluminize.com/Atlanta for odor-free, clean, fresh air. Aluminize Service, whose sign's traditionally over my left shoulder, proud sponsors of everything SDH. So, all right, so for the remainder here, and I don't know how long it's going to be, but I'll blow through what you guys are talking about, whether it's on the Twitters or here in the timeline. And once again, if I miss something in the Twitch pitch, go ahead and recycle it through. If it's a topic that you want to be run through here for the remainder of the show, this is how it's going to be for the foreseeable future. Where it's going to be where it's going to be Jarrett and I, and we're going to try to make it as close to Turner time at 9:05 as possible. The lengths may vary because of the high school football commitments that I have on a weekly basis, but We'll try to be as uniform at 9:05 as possible, and we'll go for at least an hour, and we'll continue to roll through with all the topics and stuff. Programming reminder tonight, we're going to catch up with Nick Alifi and talk the European leagues, and I'm sure that we'll talk about what we talked about in the opening kickoff this morning with folks arguing with each other and running back and forth and all that kind of stuff. So We'll talk about that tonight. That'll be up on the network tomorrow, and I'll show you. I have my list of things that we have here for the week. So let me, there we go. So down here on the right-hand side of the page, this is all the programming that we have coming up on the network. We've got tomorrow, it's our USL programming that's going to be popping up. It's a USL Championship. It is USL League One programming. Prem and Proper will be coming back in tomorrow to discuss everything that's been going on. And a very, very busy week, big one for Nottingham Forest, in addition to what we saw with Chelsea and Spurs and all the other stuff going on in the Prem. Liverpool and Crystal Palace is a Monday night football, at least if you're overseas at the time it kicks off. So it's Monday afternoon football here on your Peacockish provider. I believe it's USA. I don't think they've rolled it over to Peacock entirely yet. But so tomorrow will be Prem and Proper. Contributor Niall will give the Golden Isles and Rotten Isles. USL League One, USL Championship. We're going to go till 10 tomorrow. So 9:05 until 10 o'clock tomorrow. So we get the power hour tomorrow morning. And then we'll catch up with Dylan Butler on a game day. We'll have Nico Moreno on Thursday on tape. And then all the other stuff this week. So that's where we are. All right. So let me roll through comments here. And I know Amelia, one win a month since last August. Where are they going to come from? That's going to come from the guys. You know, it's you want to, you want to make it into the postseason. You got to win your matches. So there we go. Coco, once again, to the point that we were talking about, Pineda has to hold the blame for some of his lineup choices and he has formation choices and things like that. And he's admitted as much in the postgame press conferences. Players form is what it is. He has to figure out how to be strong from the start. And so that's what, you know, when you're looking at lineups, this is going to be with all of the talent that you have up top. Literally, it's going to be a game by game analysis of what you think is going to get you the result that you're looking for. So combinations might be a little, you know, might be a little weird to start things off. But you, if you have a situation where you're going to have some kind of solid starting 11, then if that's the case, if that's what Gonzalo Pineda feels, then once again, you've got the firepower coming in off the bench that can help you out in that final 30 minutes, whether it's to run folks into oblivion or try to help you defensively to shut things down. So, Bam, to your point, also have to keep an eye on teams not in the mix on decision day. You'll have players playing for contracts. That is absolutely true. But Nix, glad you're okay. Jeep kind of ran you over when you were off-roading this weekend. All your fault, but have some scrapes and bruises. Just hope that you're better. And I'm glad that you're okay and hanging out with us here on a Monday morning. So, let's see. I'm going to continue to scan down. Full backstory. Okay, Nix is posted on YouTube. Full backstory here. So, okay. Yeah, Coco, they mate well. But, I mean, Coco, if you burn down something, you just drop $300 million on. I don't know if that's going to be good form or not if you want to head back to Nissan. That's the name of the stadium. Let's see. Niall, how concerned should Seattle be? Yeah, Jarrett talked about that a little bit. Yeah, Abby, the U20 score, 3-0. Yeah, they got thumped. Let's see. Sam, hope we can get Garth Lagerwey to Atlanta to replace Darren. That will be an interesting thought because Garth Lagerwey, if I understand Nico Moreno more, Garth is more of the player and recruiting side of your GMs. It's not just where, while Darren has input, it is with all of the other folks in the collective. Garth has more of a say in the players that Seattle wants to bring in. So he's more hands-on in that regard. Does Atlanta United want to go in that direction? We'll see. But Garth more leans more toward being the player bringing in guy as opposed to the economic side of things when it comes to being a vice president. So, you know, that's going to be a front office decision and what Atlanta United feels like they need to bring forward. So that's where, and if you watched, Nico tried to ask Garth about the Atlanta United opening. And so Garth tap danced his way around it. Not necessarily a surprise that he would do that. So we'll keep an eye on that. And see what the future is, because Tom says, wondering if whoever the new prez is will want to bring in his own TD. Boca is very unjustifiably the fan base's favorite punching bag, so they'd be happy anyway. That's true. But yeah, that's, you know, would the president want to, you know, bring in their own individual? So that's, you know, something that we've got to keep an eye on. Let's see. Emilio, yeah, the whole notion about keepers and things like that, that's what we're, that's what we're looking at with Justin Garces and Gudinho and Rocco and Brad coming back, and the first episode of the series and Brad's recovery has popped back out. So we'll keep an eye on that as well. For those of you that like those kinds of extended programs, that one's out. Let's see. So Martha, if LAFC doesn't win MLS Cup this year, are they the new Red Bulls of the postseason? Wow. Trying to think of what a, well, I mean, they might be the Revs of recent history, if you think about it, because I've always maintained this, that LAFC on normal activity, if LAFC is out physical, then they don't know how to respond. It's like if you frustrate Vela, if you're physical to him, they get frustrated. They don't know how to respond in kind. And so if you're physical with, you know, LAFC, do they continue to be kind of knocked off kilter a little bit and not know how to respond? I would say that that LAFC might be the Revs, you know, in more recent history. So we'll keep an eye on that. But yeah, LAFC, as you've seen from BAM's discussions this morning in the timeline, cup or bust. And with the 72 designated players that they have, although they're under allocated, you know, their AM contracts, we'll see what goes on. I know, BAM, it's an easy dig. I know it's an easy dig on a Monday. Yeah, trying to multitask, Ab. Yeah, no doubt. It's and the thing is, if I could detach the camera and I could kind of show you where things are, because of how the laptop is structured, but and the keyboard and the mouse and everything. Yeah. So I'm kind of leaning in, trying to do things and type one way or the other and figure things out like that. So it's yeah, it's all over the place. And so if I'm leaning in to touch buttons and click things, it's a bit of an interesting dynamic working both hands and being left-handed and right-handed with left-handed with right-handed mice. It's interesting stuff. BAM would agree with that under Bob, but under Dolo, completely different team. So we'll see. Yeah, no doubt. Well, that's what I do, Abby. I do have the I've got the Twitter. I have Twitter feed, and I have feeds up on both monitors and things like that. So it's, yeah, going back and forth. It's an interesting dynamic here where I kind of need like three hands basically, or more monitors, or more desk space. And by the way, I did get another desk over here. I just need now, I guess, more monitors and more things. So yeah, I now have two desks and two computers over here in Office HD. Also, yeah, BAM, what happens when Atlanta travels? What happens on the flight? Only one win and four draws away for the season. I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, it's just really, if you want to break it down, BAM, it's just difficult to play on the road in Major League Soccer. I think the winning percentage is less than 20% or somewhere in there. There's a number that's it's an unconscionable number when you think about it, but you know, it's not just an Atlanta thing in Major League Soccer. There are teams in MLS that win one out of every five on average, one out of every five. So it's very difficult. So it's not just an Atlanta thing. It's an everybody thing in Major League Soccer, where winning on the road is very, very, very tough. So not just an Atlanta thing. Sam wants to get Joseph out of his slump. And right now it's just trying to find the best way to implement Joseph Martinez. Do you start him and, you know, figure out how he is health and endurance wise? Is he better starting, giving you 60, or is he better running and giving you 30? And once again, it comes from a case by case basis. And I think that that's the biggest thing here too, is that you look at the lineups and you try to figure out, okay, where can I best use the players against the team that I'm going up against? And so that was the point that I was trying to make earlier. I don't know if I enunciated it well, but the idea of making sure that this lineup, I think, is going to do best starting up against this team. And so it may not be the same lineup each and every time, but with the firepower that you have and with the folks that you have, you can probably line something up that you think is going to be the best way to do it. let's see. Emilio, right there with you on dislike for English composition. But, you know, I try to speak English as goodly as humanly possible. So we'll see. We'll see what's going there. Jason Nix, what are y'all's odds? Joseph's in Atlanta next year. That's going to be one of the offseason questions for you. I'll tell you right now. That is going to be the question. So take that question, Nix, and put it off to the side or put it on a poster board or something like off to the side. That'll be one of the big questions in the offseason. Airborne DJ, if we miss the playoffs, it's the most disappointing season in our history. I would probably go with the MLS's next season as well. So that's the one that I would look at. Not your Aunt Martha needs Joseph to go on an ayahuasca retreat and find his hangry killer instinct again, like Aaron Rodgers. I'm still trying to figure out, you know, what was when Aaron Rodgers was discussing those kinds of things. I mean, that was some left field stuff, but I think that we've kind of learned to look at Aaron Rodgers and understand that a lot of stuff that he's talking about is coming out of left field. So interesting stuff there. Uncle No Pockets wants to stop defaulting to hero ball when things aren't going as planned. There are times when I know that folks get frustrated with that kind of stuff too. So, sometimes there are players who feel like they've got to try to encourage something. And so instead of hero ball, I know hero ball and patience, it's that 50-50 balance that we're trying to figure out and bust our way through. On the board, let's see, buzzing through, Alex Pacine, the best idea would be to forget just plugging Almada into this team, but instead build the whole thing around him, but he won't stay long enough to make that worth it. Thiago Almada, fantastic talent. And I want to see how Atlanta United continues to add the pieces in and around him and everybody and Luis and Marcelino. And I'm looking forward to it, to see how everything is built with Thiago Almada, Alex. That's one of the things that I'm looking forward to as we continue to roll forward with Thiago Almada. But understand that, and Niall and everybody making this comment as well, that Thiago Almada, unless something changes philosophically, this is the place where he can continue to grow his game, and then he gets to move on to the European theater or wherever he feels his next step should be. And, you know, to be able to flourish here and really do well at the next stop, that's what he's trying to do. And that's what Atlanta United's trying to give him the opportunity to do right now. But, yes, Rookie and Emilio, no, we're not a dog right now. Let me go back over the numbers really quickly. It was next matches. Once again, this is courtesy of a composite that's put together from 15 different juice box purveyors. Atlanta United right now is a plus 124, and that's on average. Draws a plus 252, and Red Bulls are north of plus 200. So, yeah, right now Atlanta United is favored fairly well coming into the remainder of the season. Martha, again, come to terms with just enjoying the special moments for the remainder of the season, then anxious to see most everyone get back healthy and hungry, ready for Almada to go off in 2023. You're not the only one. And Ricky is also dead on about Herman Garcia Grova, also very good for South American rumors. That's another guy to sit there with a blue check mark and looking at how you want things to roll through. Definitely check marks, sources, occupations, look at your numbers when it comes to anything. The Almada and Moreno stuff, I think the guy was not blue check marked, and it was just a guy kind of spouting stuff off. So we'll continue to see what's going on right there. And Sam, yeah. I think everybody'd like to play Manchester United right now rather than Red Bull. And did you guys see, Cristiano Ronaldo, when one of his teammates was down, I want to say this was like in the 37th minute of the match when they were getting thumped by Brentford. And for a guy that enjoys the underdog just as much as anybody, seeing Brentford do what they were able to do at home in front of that audience at GTEC, I thought it was cool television. It was a great moment for the Brentford community. But for Cristiano Ronaldo to step over a teammate to get to the Lucozade bottle or whatever's in the bottles that the physio staff brought out, Cristiano Ronaldo does not need to be at Manchester United anymore. You have to find a dance partner and you have to get rid of him. And that has to be the first step for Erik ten Hag to go forward. Jadon Sancho, and for me, Jadon Sancho and Cristiano Ronaldo are two at the top of the list that have to go. G-O, goodbye, got to go. And that moment in the match against Brentford, to me, was the personification of why Cristiano Ronaldo has no business being at Manchester United anymore. Anymore. Got to go. That's just me. So, that, like I said, that's just me thinking out loud this morning. Ricky, yes, starting an LAFC frontline in fantasy. That's another aspect of all of this. Remember, fantasy, courtesy of our friends at the Jason Wright Agency, going to be a double match week. So if you want to dig into LAFC, starting guys like Chicho Arango, Sifu, Vela, whomever, as a part of the deal, you got to get your lineups in squared away. So I got another loss. I'm still mid-table in the Pro Rel League, but not a surprise. I'm going to be like kind of right there, 10 through 13 by the time that it's done. But yeah, lost my match last night. Get your lineups in. Look at your lineups. Look at your matchups. And Nick, you're not too far off. Hey, kids want to see a dead body. Look at LAFC going up against DC United tomorrow night. But set your lineups. If you're in the Fantasy League, brought to us by our friends at the Jason Wright Agency, Jason Wright with a W-A-G-E-N on Twitter and on Facebook. Thanks to Jason and everybody who has been part and parcel to posting the information, giving you helpful hints and all that kind of stuff. Double match week that starts tomorrow night. So set your lineups early when it comes to working your way through fantasy and trying to improve your place in the standings. Emilio, I guess what I struggle with is that I go to every game truly not expecting a shot to win. It's like when something good happens, I'm shocked. Not for the salary we have. It's not like watching the 78 Mets for crying out loud. Now, I know, and I know that some fans are frustrated in all of this. I would think that, you know, considering what we've all seen over the last handful of years, and you have a team that's below the playoff bar and struggling to put the ball in the back of the net, then, yeah, I would be frustrated too. So, but, I mean, just enjoy the run in for what it is. We have 2 months left in the season. And it's crazy. It's been crazy. And we've said this from the beginning, where you had folks who, from the absolute jump, we could eliminate teams better than we could sit there and say, you know, we knew who we could knock out, instead of sitting there and thinking, okay, who's going to be in? We could eliminate one or two teams in each conference, and we figured everybody else still had a shot to be in the playoffs. And that has come to pass. So it's going to be crazy. And literally what I will suggest is just to be, if I say pragmatic, I don't want you to take it the wrong way, but take it game by game. Because right now, Atlanta United has to win all their home games, bottom line. But you can't get to the next step. You can't get to Columbus on the weekend and still chase after positioning if you don't take care of business in the midweek. So focus all of your energies on Red Bulls right now, because we went over the standings when the show started as to how things look. Here's how things look, and here's the bottom line when it comes to standings and where Atlanta United's place is in them. Focus all the energy on Red Bulls in the midweek at home, and they're going to need you. So if you're going, be as loud as 17 as humanly possible, and encourage everyone around you to be just as loud, because they're going to need you. They're going to need you for full points. And they're going to need you to go forward with this. Focus on that one. Then focus on the next one. Then focus on the next one after that. Don't look all the way down the road, because we're not there yet. So focus on this one with Red Bulls here in the midweek, and then we'll continue to work forward with it. Okay, so Bart has already called his shot. We aren't making the playoffs this year. So, Bart, if you can, like, snap that somewhere, or, like, take a screenshot of it, and sit there and post it somewhere. And so now that you've called your shot at 10:19 on the 15th of August. So, all right. So you called your shot, get the screen cap, because if you want me to multitask and get a screen cap, I would probably break the whole thing that we've got squared away this morning. So I've gotten us to this point. Take care of the screen cap for me. Okay. So DM Tim with a weather report, decent chance of shower starting Wednesday afternoon. So I'm guessing the roof will be closed. strategy for bringing in Gudino if Brad's expected to be back next year? Uncle, I think Jarrett kind of talked about this a little bit. You got a lot of folks chasing after spaces when it comes to being in net for Atlanta United. It's going to be another one of the questions going forward, coming through all of it all. Let's see. Bart suggesting if Goose is back, don't think Gudino's staying in Atlanta. A bit surprising he hasn't played for us at all, so we don't really know what we have and if he'd be an upgrade, but Goose will be the number one in 23 if he's healthy. Yeah. And I think that one of the original points that was being made involving Gudino was that Rocco was more comfortable in the system with the job description that Gonzalo Pineda has, working the ball with his feet, those kinds of things. And that for Gudino, he's still having to learn to be comfortable in the system. And so I think that that's why we haven't seen Gudino, and we have seen Rocco lock things down. So I think that was the main thing when you were looking at Gudino. Bart, and I know I'm kind of going back to Bart with some of your earlier topics, just not a good soccer team right now. At some point, your results speak for themselves. Injuries are not, and we're 13th team in the East. Is Pineda to blame? All to blame? Absolutely not. But he deserves scrutiny and criticism because he has made several questionable lineup and tactical decisions this season. And yes, and he, like I said, he's been the first one to step up in post-match press conferences and say those kinds of things. Let's see. Interested to know, Martha, interested to know what our front office summer window strategy was before all the injuries and how it changed from March to June. That is an interesting question. I don't know if we'll ever get the answer, but it would be an interesting question. Bam, the question is, why have Atlanta had so many players down with injuries? Is it? No, it's not the training regime. Freak year. Freak year, freak year, freak year. Underline, emphasize, exclamate, italicize, boldface, 32 font. It is freak year. And I mean, literally, you could go in and around and talk to folks in multiple sports and, you know, and in soccer in and of itself. Freak year, not the training regime, not the training regime at all, because it's in game, on grass, on turf, and all the different variables. So freak year, freak year. Let's see. Let's see. Going all the way through. Oh, yeah, Nick's. You didn't hear the training ground was built on a Native American burial ground and they only moved the headstones. Okay. It's not quite like Talladega Speedway where I don't know if you heard this one, but Talladega Speedway was built on an Indian burial ground. And when the tribe was kicked off the land, they cursed it. And so that's why you always have what you have at Talladega. So it was a, so it's not quite Talladega when it comes to the training ground, Knicks. But, yeah, freak year across the board. And yes, Tom and Bart, yeah, be more than happy to sit there and we'll talk about it. But once again, get to Wednesday, which gets you to the weekend. Get to Wednesday first. I know a lot of discussion is going back and forth about what's going on in net. I've finally caught back up to the top of the hour. And so I'm only 20 minutes behind you when it comes to conversations. Hopefully we'll catch things back up here. Also on the board, Bart, don't think it's fair to put all blame on Pineda, but he is the manager and he's tasked with making the team good. We can talk about bad luck and unfair results, but we're just not a good team at this point, which sucks because we have the talent to do it. I mostly blame Bocanegra because we still don't have a great cast of midfielders, and that's where we seem to struggle. But once again, you know, Emerson Hyman injured more than once. And this is just two of the cases, you know, Santi Sosa injured a lot in a calendar sense. So Sosa injured, you've had Hyman injured and Ozzie Alonso, who was brought in to help things out, injured as well. And I know that that's what, you know, out of the blocks, that's what you're looking at from your midfield and you go injured, injured, injured. So yeah, I know that's where you seem to struggle in the midfield. Also on the board, yeah, Sam, trying my best to keep the candle burning, brother. But once again, thanks to all of you guys who have been hanging out with us as well. Yeah, I know, Abby, continued success on the multitask. I'm hoping to be able to do more things, you know, and add more stuff like the music and the intros and all that kind of stuff. I've got to get those files and have them added into the system here in Office HD. It's a part of it. But yeah. You know, Tom says, I will say this, if the team comes out of the blocks cold next season, as long as there isn't another huge rash of injuries again, Pineda's seat will warm very quickly. Would not necessarily be shocked to say that, if I could get my if I could get my upper plate to work this morning. Right. Also looking at, let's see, we got through the odds, right? Knicks got us to a plus 125. Sam asking if we think now that Darren's at Newcastle, we'll do business more with Newcastle, such as Almada to Newcastle. I mean, it's an interesting thought. You know, hey, it worked well once before. So we'll see if there's any interest on stuff like that in the past. So, yeah, would not surprise. Just kind of keep that up as an idea for connections. So think of where your connections are overseas, because it's those relationships that can foster stuff going forward and working your way to successes both financially and physically for your club going forward, because you never know when that relationship can help coming back the other way. So any relationship is a good relationship. Any contact is a good contact. And that doesn't, and I'm talking anything outside of sport. Any relationship is a good relationship. You never know when shaking a hand with somebody is going to benefit you down the line. So no doubt about it. Stuff could happen with Darren in Newcastle. You never know. Also on the board this morning, a lot of Manchester United talk. Sam Williamson back in. Nothing will change while the Glazers own United. Correct. First thing that needs to happen is someone takes United off the greasy hands of the Glazers. But the Glazers would have to be forced to sell. They're not going to sell, Sam. And that's the disappointing thing in all of this, is that they're not going to sell. And, you know, if they continue to have Manchester United as a part of their financial portfolio and it continues to benefit them, then they're not going to do anything to get away from that. If it's part of their portfolio that last time I checked for the Glazers is about that big. If it works for them on a balance sheet and they can do whatever they want to do with it, they're not going to get rid of it. So that's pretty much where it is right now with Manchester United. Michael Head, going to matches now is expecting the worst, hoping for the best. And is it surprising when something good happens? It is surprising when something good happens. Who in the world would ever expect Atlanta United to be 13th out of 14? I know it's disappointing, but you know, it's something, like I said, it's something that we've talked about. You're in a playoff race with everything that's happened this year. You're still in the playoff hunt. Yes, you have to take care of business, but you're still in a playoff hunt. That's how I'm looking at it. Instead of sitting there and saying, okay, we're 13th out of 14th, you're 5 points out of the playoffs. I mean, you know, we talked about positioning all morning long when it comes to the East and the West. You're 4 points out of a playoff spot. You're 4 points, technically 4 points and two wins out of a playoff spot right now, but that's 4 points. I know you've got to jump over five other clubs right now. It's a lot of work to do, yes. But once again, starts Wednesday, match in hand, take care of business, win number eight, 32 points, and that moves you up the table because, once again, remember who is playing in the East on Wednesday. Toronto's playing at home. Charlotte's playing on the road. And so those are the only other two teams that are currently impacted by you. So if you go by form, let's just project out a little bit. Toronto and Atlanta, if they win, they go to 32 points. They move to 10 and 11. Charlotte, with another tough road game, if they lose, they stay at 29 points and they're below everything. So I would anticipate going into the weekend, if things go the way that we anticipate that they do, that you would have Toronto 10th at 32, Atlanta 11th at 32, and then Charlotte 12th at 29. I think that my math is right. Three teams up, three teams down. So once again, you win, you're 1 point out of a playoff spot. So like I said, I admit that I'm taking this game at a time approach. That's pretty much where I'm looking at it. Just game at a time, game at a time, game at a time. Get through this one, go to the next. Get through that one, go to the next. And that way you just keep pushing your way forward. I'm not looking at 13th out of 14th. I'm looking at points away from playoff spots. And so that's kind of how I am. Back at the Austin game, I thought every game needed playoff one-off mentality. Haven't seen that every game. Yes, it's difficult to do, but you put yourself in that situation. Yeah, that's true. I mean, it is, you know, once again, it is game at a time. And, you know, if you have situations where you get thumped, then you've got to steal points. And until there is a point where a team is mathematically eliminated from things, I'm going to continue to look at it where there's still a chance. And then when there isn't a chance, then you focus on stuff down the line and you worry about it then. I'm not worrying about then now, because we're not to then, if that makes any sense. Ricky, thoughts on the twos performance? Let's see. I mean, it's obviously disappointing, but once again, you're dealing with guys that are in their 20s, late 20s, early 30s. And Florian Velot, I know that Velot drove folks crazy when he was with Red Bulls. And because there's a moment in the MLS is back tournament where Velot, I think, contributed to the Red Bulls goal that was part of the beginning of the end in MLS is back. But, you know, you've got a guy like Florian Velot who is so smooth on the ball. And, you know, you had a goal given up in the eighth, which you couldn't do. Mark Segber scoring in the eighth minute. You could not give away. You could not go down early, and you went down early. And so for a team in the Miami FC, I'm still waiting for the folks in Columbus, Ohio, to go chasing after the folks in Boca for that. When you have a moment in the eighth where Mark Segber scores, you're on the road playing your third match in a week, then it made perfect sense for Anthony Pulis's bunch to sit there. And you got a line of four, another line of four, and a line of two, and you camp out. And it's up to Atlanta United to try to find a way to push their way through. Looking at the Noah Cobb call, it was correct. And so now you won't have Noah for the red card that he picked up on Dogso in the 31st. You won't have him for the game in Loudoun this upcoming weekend, which is going to be tough. And from there, you know, you're down a man with 60 minutes to go and you're trying to chase. And a lot of it was the Miami FC working the ball from left to right and just eating up clock. And then late when you're chasing, then you have a moment in transition and then you end up with another goal scored and it's 2-0 and that's the win. But obviously, you know, it's frustrating for the guys and for Jack Collison as well, because, you know, it's you're trying to, you know, you're trying to have guys learn what they want to be and be a part of Atlanta United, but at the same time, you're going up against guys that are older. And in the East, if you look at the standings, there are two distinct groups. You've got the group that's right now in the playoff section, and then you have the ones that are chasing playoffs. And yeah, it's been a tough year, no lie. But to see the development of guys like Justin Garces, that are a part of this. And that's just one example. You know, you see a Noah Cobb continue to grow and evolve. You see Nelson Orji come in and really apply himself very, very quickly. But you know, to the point that Jarrett made on Two's Review, and I would go back and listen to Two's Review when you have the chance. Right now, you're looking for guys that hate to lose more than they like to win. And that's all a part of growing as a professional. And right now, it's been a tough year for Atlanta United and for the twos. So they go to Loudoun. It'll be a tough test. Loudoun came down, and Loudoun is a team that's been trying to find their identity ever since the coaching change, because you had older players who were there as a part of the staff with the previous administration, and then you end up with a firing, and now you're playing young guys, and then you're playing veterans. It's a weird mix right now for Loudoun. So it'll be an interesting game when it comes to what you're staring at with Loudoun United this upcoming week. So obviously disappointing in a 2-0 loss, but once again, you're playing guys who are 10 years, you know, 10, 12, 13 years older than you are, and it's always going to be tough. But so yeah, Ricky, long year continues, and now it's next shot is going to Loudoun and trying to take on Loudoun United going forward. Hoping we move on from Hosetsu in the offseason, a great guy, not a good fit. Hosetsu has been in my observations, he's been one of those fulcrums that you need. There's a reason that he's been wearing the armband at times this season. And, you know, you look at him and how he has been able to integrate and be the spoke in the wheel and try to work things from the midfield forward. I think that Mateus Hosetsu has done tremendous work. Obviously, the injury right now is a bit of a concern, and we'll see how that impacts. But I like having a guy like Mateus who sets you around, because he's that calming influence and can be the spoke in the wheel that you're looking for. And I know that you can look at – I know that you're looking at things, you're looking at things from a fit perspective. I think that he has fit very well under Gonzalo Pineda. And Ricky, you're right. When it comes to looking at Atlanta United, it's a glass half full, glass half empty situation. It is about how you look at it. Looking all the way through, Shooter, morning Shooter. Glad to have you back. Revs on the upswing. We're going to get that sixth spot. When you have to jump five teams, it is a tall task, no doubt about it. And so, like I said, we'll see how it is with the remainder of the season. And so his decision-making is too slow when you're talking about Hasecu. So no, like I said, that's what this is all about. When we're talking about folks and how we view things through our own individual prisms. But hang on just a second. I've got. All right, there we go. That's the beauty of Monday, folks. You know, first time back, and then the internet goes down toward the end of the show. But Uncle, you and I will respectfully disagree about Mateus Hasecu, and that's cool. That's what this is all about. This is what we're all about here, is having all of these kinds of discussions and thoughts and thought patterns and things like that. So we're going to, like I said, we're going to do this every single time out. And so as we work our way through here, it'll be like this every single day that we can. And we will continue to work on this as our dead level best. And I will do my dead level best to continue to add things and bells and whistles and things. And I thought that, you know, when I had the, when you're coming into the room and you have your name here down the lower part of the screen, I always thought that it stuck to the lower part of the screen. But thanks for hanging out with us. And it's been great to get everybody back. And we will do this again tomorrow morning. And we will talk about around the world stuff and anything else on your mind for, let's see, what do we have for tomorrow? Yeah, for an hour. We'll do a power hour tomorrow from 9:05 to 10:00. And thanks to all of you guys for being patient with us. Thanks for all of you guys to come back. And Uncle, it's great to have you as a part of the La Familia as well. So thanks to everybody who has been part and parcel to all of us. Thanks for being patient with us. And we'll be back in some form or fashion. Like I said, power hour tomorrow at 9:05. So glad we're back to DM Tim. So it's great to see everybody. And thanks to everybody who's been hanging out with us. So we officially will put an end to it all this morning. Enjoy your games. There's a lot going on. Mucha plata, y'all.